Good morning. How is everyone? Thank you for being at our launch service, our contemporary service. Please stand and worship with us.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. The Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Child of God, yes, I am. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like all of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and
good morning. Have a seat. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Welcome to our launch service, everybody. It is wonderful to be with you this morning as we continue our journey together through Advent. And I say journey because we always talk about waiting during this period of Advent, but it truly is a journey because we don't just sit around on our couches and wait, right? We are journeying through life and we are still doing our day-to-day. So we are journeying towards the birth of our Savior. And I want you to keep that in your mind today as we talk about the joy of the Advent season. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We are excited that you are here. We are glad you are with us at Asbury. We hope that you find this time of worship to be friendly and welcoming and spirit-filled. What I'd like to do now, if I could, is if we have any of our young Christians going to Kids Club, I'm going to have you meet Miss Sherry in the back, and that's any child 3 through 2nd grade. You don't have to go, but if you'd like to go, Miss Sherry is back there waiting, and I think we're all going to stay, which sounds wonderful. So as we do that, let's take a moment and stand up and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor. All right, as we come back together for worship, let's take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious, loving God, we give thanks to you for this opportunity to come together as a community of faith. We ask that during this time together that you are with us through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, that you join us and just seek to change our room. God, we are looking to serve you, and we are looking for you to help move us. So we ask that you're with us today in this time. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to invite Scott and Emily Corley up here, and they will lead us in the lighting of our Advent candle of joy.
O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to lift from among those gone down to the pit. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. We light the candle of joy as a reminder that whether we climb the highest heavens or make our bed in the pit of despair, God is with us.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our hearts leap for joy, knowing that you, though almighty and everlasting, will soon be born as a humble baby, revealing to us the depths of your love for all of creation. By your Spirit, give us the courage to share the everlasting joy of your Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, guys. The next song is going to be our offertory song, so as we prepare to give our gifts and our tithes and offerings, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are filled with joy knowing that we are your children, God, and knowing just how much you love us and how much you have provided for us. We know that it is our responsibility to be great stewards of your creation here on earth. So during this time, through our gifts, our appreciation for all that you have done for us and for the trust we have that you will deploy it to your kingdom in the best way you see fit. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him along, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise a song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for me and you. Hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son.
If I didn't say it before, it is a blessing to be with all of you this morning on this third Sunday of Advent. I'm so appreciative for Scott and Emily for doing the reading this morning, Lighting the Candle of Joy. I didn't get a chance to say it last week, but I was so appreciative of Brian and Sarah Wintle for doing the reading. We had our Sounds of Christmas in here last week, which is what's going on in the sanctuary today. And so I'm just so appreciative that our community of faith can come together and lead worship together. And so I just wanted to extend that appreciation as we all anticipate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before we dive off into the message, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, it is with joy that we come to you today in this space and in this time. We know that you are with us. We know that the Holy Spirit is with us. We can feel it. We can feel it move through the music. We can feel it move through the readings and through the lights and just through being here and next to each other. And it's important to us that we always remember that God, as you have called us together as a community to live together and to worship you together. And so we are thankful that we can do that freely. God, this morning we ask that you are with those who cannot. We have so many brothers and sisters around the world who wake up in fear of harm for their beliefs. And we ask that you are with them, that you guide them, that you place a hedge of protection around them so that they may move around and spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the darkest corners of the world. God, this morning we ask that you are with those requests that we have on our prayer wall in here. You know them, and you know what is needed. So we ask that you provide that you provide the comfort and the warmth and the healing and just the understanding and the joy that each situation calls for. God, this morning, as your children, we give thanks to you. As we move through the season of Advent, as we've talked about peace and hope and joy, that we keep those feelings in our hearts, because those are feelings that can come only from you. So we ask that you don't let the world get in the way of this, that we can carry this feeling of Advent, this Christmas feeling, with us all year long. So help us stay focused on you, your love, your majesty, your glory. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So I know that a lot of you are preparing for the Christmas season, and I know also that for some of you, that means you probably have some traveling ahead of you. And while some of you will go by plane, there are some of you that will probably load up a car and begin a long journey somewhere with the promise of family or some type of destination waiting on the other end that you're excited about. And even if the journey is a hard one, you have something you're looking forward to at the end. From where we stand today, it is exactly 14 hours and 29 minutes to Orlando, Florida, where my brother lives. I am sure that some of you have probably made that drive, and if you haven't, I'll give you a little preview. It is absolutely awful. And if you travel with three small children, like I do, that 14 and a half hour journey feels like a three-day car ride. And it's not because my children are bad. It's not their fault. I'm an adult, and I think that drive is terrible. So through the eyes of a child who has a lot of energy and who have a whole lot to say, it has to be excruciating. So I don't fault them for being miserable or in turn making me miserable. It's just part of the journey. Part of the journey. It is an interesting statement because that's where we find ourselves this morning on part of our journey. We're trekking through the Advent season, and with the lighting of the Advent candle of joy, we have moved past the halfway point of the Advent season. That's right, there's only 10 days until Christmas. Does that give anybody anxiety? I'm looking for cell phones to light up, see if anybody's going to Amazon. I hope not. Not during the sermon, please. But yes, we're a little over halfway through Advent, but we still have a long way to go. See, it's the same place that Israelites found themselves in the part of Isaiah that we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about Isaiah 35. The first 34 chapters of Isaiah, though, are important because they're really all about lamenting. It is God speaking through Isaiah, because God spoke through the prophets back then, about the failings of the Israelite people to stay faithful to God, and the pain God feels as they're carried off into exile. See, they're in a desert, not a literal desert, but in a spiritual desert when it comes to their faith. They are stuck somewhere between creation and recreation, creation and salvation, creation and freedom. Yet they continue to stumble, they continue to fall away, and eventually they're carried off into Babylon. Let me give you a real-life example about another journey that you could take. It is 270 miles or so from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. And you could certainly walk that if you wanted to. And just out of curiosity, I looked it up this week. If you walked at a pace of about 3 miles an hour, you could get there in 4 to 5 days, as long as you walked nonstop. Didn't stop for rest, didn't stop for anything to eat, just 3 miles an hour, 4 to 5 days, you would be there. So with that in mind, what starts out as possible becomes harder. Here's the other part. If you're going to make that walk, you're going to walk across the Mojave Desert. It just gets harder, right? And so interestingly enough, your 4 to 5 day journey from Sin City to the City of Angels becomes exponentially harder, doesn't it? And I'm not saying City of Angels because Los Angeles is some morally upright place. They struggle the same way we do. But it is called the City of Angels, so I think it proves a good point. See, and that's how we feel when we try to take this journey, when we try to walk this journey apart from God. When we try to go it alone, without all that He provides for us, we can't make it on our own, not even a little way. And my friends, this is a long journey. So that was the state of the Israelite people in the first 34 verses of Isaiah, the constant failure of trying to achieve salvation alone, of trying to live apart from God. And so verse 35, which is written about the time the people of God are returning from exile, starts the process of speaking hope into the hearts of God's people. See, this chapter 35 is a messianic chapter. More on that in a minute. But it also serves as a hinge that swings the book of Isaiah away from pain and swings it towards promise. So let's hear how this word of God, and as I am reading it, I want you to listen very closely for a word that is repeated several times throughout the passage. This is Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. Even the wilderness and the desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Spring will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where the desert jackals once lived. And a great road will go through the once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers, only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So did you pick up on the one word? I said it four times, and it's the theme of this morning. Joy. That word is joy. And just a few weeks ago, I preached about joy. We preached about joy around Thanksgiving, and I talked about the KonMari method, for those who remember. We're not going to talk about that again this morning, but it still applies, so I hope you're using it. What we're going to do instead is we are going to talk about joy through the long journey that we take towards the birth of our Savior. See, one thing about traveling to Florida, or traveling anywhere, really, is that you come across places and people that just seem foreign to you. You might drive through this little town that just looks a little run down, you know? And it has a population sign of maybe like 30 people, right? And if you didn't grow up in that setting, you kind of look at it and you're like, who could possibly live here, right? Like, where is the closest Walmart? Where do you go if you need milk, right? You have a hard time wrapping around it because it looks very unfamiliar to you. And see, we as Christians always find ourselves in that exact situation because we are a pilgrim people. In the history of our life as Christians, as people, we have constantly been on the move. And what I mean by that is that if we truly believe that we are heading towards an eternity with God, then we're foreigners here on earth. Sure, you were born here, and most of all of you are probably American, but as people of God, this is not our permanent home. It is the place that we work and live and pray, but it is not our final spot. We are on a journey from creation to recreation or salvation, and this is just a part of our journey. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, for all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. but with eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised. So in many ways, as Christians, we find ourselves stuck. We find ourselves stuck somewhere between Isaiah 34 and Isaiah 35. And this transition, we're in a transition period between our creation by God and our rebirth into his glory. So what do we do with ourselves during that time? Well, if we look at the first two verses of Isaiah, even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom. There will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. The Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. So though we find ourselves in a wilderness, it is not a literal wilderness, it is spiritual. This desert he's speaking of is a desert of the heart, and it's a barren space where sometimes we try to maneuver alone. Sometimes we try to do it alone, and without water, without rest, trying to prove to ourselves what we can do, trying to find ways to be happy, that hole just never seems to get filled. Let's continue on with that trip to Florida. When we had Tristan, who's our oldest boy, our car was a crossover. And I know crossovers have become a lot better lately, but about 10 years ago, what a crossover basically was it looks like they tried to build an SUV and ran out of material. And they were like, yeah, what do we do with this thing? Well, we'll just call it a crossover. And I'm not saying anything bad about crossovers. They're lovely cars, especially if you have 1 to 2 kids and a small amount of luggage. Once you hit 3 kids and you have a wife who packs for every trip like we're going on a year-long safari, like my beautiful, beautiful Jennifer does. Make sure you let her know I called her beautiful. That car closes in around you pretty quickly. And so we had a trip to Orlando where literally it felt like Tristan was sitting on my shoulder and I was probably sitting on a suitcase. We realized that we had outgrown the vehicle we had, so we had to upgrade. So we upgraded to a minivan. And we could have bought a standard minivan, but myself in my selfish pride, I remember going to the car dealership and remembering just how loud the kids were in that crossover and about how miserable it was. And I said, you know what we need? We need one of those minivans have that little flip-down TV. You know what I'm talking about. It plays the DVDs. And so we did, and let me tell you something, that first road trip, that first long road trip we took was beautiful. But for when your kids are very young, they like one movie and they want to watch it over and over and over and over. Other than that, it was pretty quiet. But here's something that happened eventually that turned out to be a problem for us. Anytime we would get in the car, even for something small, a trip to Walmart or a trip to a soccer game, what would the kids say? Dad, put in a movie. And so the problem was that once a car that was way too loud became way too quiet. If you are busy, as most parents can be with young children or with children at all, that car time becomes valuable conversation time. It's where the kids kind of tell you what's going on in their lives and what's on their hearts and what they're going through. And it's a chance to sort of meet them in those moments, right? And to help them through it. See, as we are making this journey in this foreign place, we get into trouble when we don't take our hearts and our sorrows and our pains to God. When instead we turn on whatever that movie of distraction is to help us ignore the problems that we might have going on in our lives. And so what ends up happening is instead of letting God go to work on what makes us whole and brings us joy, which is through Jesus Christ, we find temporary joys to mute the pain that life can deal us. And these manifest themselves in all sorts of different ways. It can be addictive behaviors, and they mislead us into thinking that we are happy, that we have found something that will give us joy. But it's an illusion. It's a trapping of our spiritual enemy. Because, see, he wants us constantly distracted. He wants us in that space that weakens us, in that space that brings us that false joy. Think of a mirage in the desert. Have you ever seen one in real life? Or maybe just in the movies, but, you know, the person's dying of thirst, and in the distance you see this abundant lake, and you move towards it, thinking of all of your problems will be solved if I can just get to that water. And then you get there, and you find out that all it is more sand. See, we struggle because we settle for lesser joys. We settle for temporary happiness. We struggle to wait for the rain that God will pour into the desert of our hearts because we struggle to wait while we're on this journey. But here's the thing. We have to wait. As Christian people, if we want to receive the glory of God, we have to be willing to walk through Isaiah 1 through 34 to receive the glory of Isaiah 35. We have to struggle in the desert so we can feel the coolness of the rain, so that we can feel the blossoming buds of renewal. We have to be strong in our faith and trust that God will defend us against our spiritual enemies, because as it says in verse 4, he is coming to save you. God, knowing us better than we know ourselves, can look into the deepest, darkest parts of our hearts, and he weeps for our pain. And best of all, he still chooses to be our God. The one that is coming to save us, this Christ, this Messiah that we are moving towards, he is God in human form. He is the Messiah, the risen King, and he is coming. And when he does, our eyes will be open and our ears will be unplugged, like the scripture says. The sick will be healed, the broken will be restored. The lame will walk, and the poor will be rich of spirit. And we will no longer have to overfill our schedules with temporary happiness, because we will find complete peace and unending joy just simply being in his presence. In verse 8, there's a mention of going through the deserted land, and you will come across a highway, and that highway is called the Highway of Holiness. See, as you're dragging through this desert in your life, oftentimes we can move through and we don't notice the highway just on the other side of the ridge that is waiting to quickly and safely carry us to our destination. Sometimes we get so close to it that we can even hear the cars, but our legs won't let us move towards it because our minds are telling us to stay on the current path. Stay on your own path. Stay on the path you want, and all will be okay. But God wants you on that highway. He has placed it right there before you, and it is a highway that has been paved by the Messiah who gave everything for you. One that was born low, that walked humbly, and died an awful death. Listen to this passage from Matthew 11. Profound words from Jesus. It says, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away from me. Like I said, God wants us on that highway. As we move through the desert of our life, he puts that highway of salvation right there for us. But we have to go to him because he gave his only son to get us there. And that son, he's the driver of that car, and he wants to take that ride with you, that ride of joy. And all that he asks is that you believe in him fully, love him unconditionally, and follow him relentlessly. Oh, and wear your seatbelt. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we give thanks to you for this message this morning from the book of Isaiah. We ask that you are with us in the season of Advent as we move through the first part of Isaiah, that part of the pain and the longing and the needing of you. And we ask that you pull us into that glory that you promise, that you offer to us in Isaiah 35. We ask that you are with us this week, that these words work through our hearts and help us see the world in a space where we could move as Christians to glorify you. We ask this in your son's holy name. Amen. We have two songs to close out this week, and the first song is what we call our song of invitation. And it's exactly that. It's an invitation to move in your faith however God has led you to do that. The prayer kneelers are open if you want to come and pray. We have our prayer wall over there, and I know we've talked about it before, but what we are doing for that, you may have heard me pray during the pastoral prayer for it, is it's an opportunity for people to write down things that are on their heart that need to be prayed for. And you just stick it in that board, and it's going to stay up there, and as a community of faith, we'll continue to pray for it. But if the Holy Spirit has spoken with you today and you want to act on that, feel free to do so. If you've been visiting for some time and you've decided, you know what, these Asbury people aren't too bad and you want to join our family, we can do that today. Just come up and join me during this song. And lastly, maybe you just want to stay where you are and sing to a God that loves you unconditionally. Either way, let's be standing as we sing this song.
Were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Oh, my sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, blaze of your glory. For you are raised to life again. have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry. Not just sing another song, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Oh, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda, Lord. I'm sorry. When I forgot that you're enough, take me back to where we start. I open up my heart to you. And I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. Oh, I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I just want you. And nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. And nothing else. No. Nothing else. Nothing else. caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet, Lord. I'm caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. Oh, I just want you. More than anything that you can do. Oh, I just want you.
Amen. Before we get out of here, just a couple of things that I want to bring to your attention. We have our Advent worship calendar in the bulletin, but there's two things I want to talk about specifically. First of all, this Wednesday night, we are going to offer a Blue Christmas service. It's going to be at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be in the chapel, which is right across the hall as you head out here. And the purpose of that service is that we understand and recognize that while Christmas is a time of joy and happiness for many, it's not for everyone. And so we want an opportunity for those who have a difficult time this time of year to come and be with us and worship with us and just be in that space. And so that'll be Wednesday night at 7. If you know of anybody or if you yourself would benefit from that time, and then we'll have light refreshments afterwards. Also, this year, 3 Christmas Eve services, 4, 6, and 11. The 6 o'clock service will actually be here in the WAC, which is going to be, I think, a fantastic opportunity. I know our praise team is very excited about that. Pastor Didi will preach all 3 services, and at 7 o'clock in here after the service ends, we are going to have some hot chocolate, possibly some cookies, and we're going to watch Charlie Brown Christmas. So hopefully the kids will want to be part of that. I know I'm excited to see it, so we hope you join us. As you leave this place today, that joy that you feel that Christ fills your heart with, take it with you. Take it to work tomorrow. Take it to school. Take it wherever you're headed. Because that joy, that true joy, is different. It looks different. And there's people out there that don't know that feeling. And hopefully, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they can see through you what the love of Christ is all about. So let that Holy Spirit guide you. Let it keep you this week. And let it move you to do God's work in the mission field. Go in peace.